broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
We thank God for Friday and Mary, our Mother of Sorrows, and we thank you for joining us this morning on the 15th of September. We give glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Catholic from the start, giving glory to God right off the bat on this Friday morning. It's Morning Glory on EWTN Radio with Brian Patrick and Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy, our producer, and our godly counsel, Dominican Father Aquinas Gilbo, leading us in prayer.
Let us pray on this feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. O God, who willed that when your Son was lifted high on the cross, his mother should stand close by and share his suffering, grant that your Church, participating with the Virgin Mary in the Passion of Christ, may merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And Gloria, what does Mother Angelica's perpetual calendar offer us today?
Mother says, Mary, who was filled with grace, could stand beneath the cross, for she had accepted its burdens with the same love as her Son. She would offer him as he offered himself, and she would offer herself as he offered her to the world.
Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. Mm-hmm. We have a special guest in the studio. We'll meet him in a few minutes, but first the news. Witnesses say a fireball in the London Underground caused burns to some passengers, leading to an evacuation of the Parsons Green station. Britain's Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson urges people not to jump to conclusions.
Well, I'm afraid my information is limited, and it really is important not to speculate at the moment. I think, obviously, everybody should keep calm and go about their lives in the normal way, as normal as they possibly can.
Police in London confirmed they are treating this explosion as a potential act of terrorism. Just days after the UN passed sanctions against it, North Korea launches a second missile over Japanese airspace. Immediate condemnation followed from Japan and the U.S., The strongest reaction, though, came from South Korea with a missile launch of its own. The distance of the practice target coincides with the distance to Pyongyang, the North Korean capital. The South Korean president states, "We have the power to annihilate North Korea." Tensions continue to build. Authorities in Hollywood, Florida, continue probing the deaths of 8 people and the hospitalization of 39 others from a nursing home facility that lost its air conditioning during Hurricane Irma. Raylan Story, spokesperson for the City of Hollywood, says investigators are examining a number of factors.
We're looking into the temperature inside the facility, the staffing inside the facility, and all of the conditions inside the facility in the hours leading up to this situation.
145 patients were removed from the facility as temperatures soared Thursday morning. President Trump surveys hurricane damage in Naples, Florida, meeting with victims there. He thanks first responders, applauding the resilience of Floridians.
We love the people of Florida, and they went through something that I guess the likes of which we can really say nobody's ever seen before. They've never seen a category like this come in because it came in really at a 5.
In Fort Myers, Vice President Mike Pence assures the people of Florida they will recover with national support.
We're with you today. We're going to be with you tomorrow. And we're going to be with you until Florida rebuilds bigger and better than ever before. So thank you.
Vice President Mike Pence in Fort Myers, Florida. Pope Francis meets with newly appointed bishops from all over the world, including Bishop Jorge Humberto Rodriguez, an auxiliary in the Archdiocese of Denver.
The Pope, when I saw him enter into the room, immediately he makes you feel at ease. No? So he joked, he said, wow, it looks like we have here Vatican III, not because we were many bishops there. So everybody laughed, and that really made the rest of the meeting very easy.
Francis reminds the new bishops to be humble and open to better ways of evangelizing other than, quote, just the way it's always been. Police were out in force in Berkeley, California last night as journalist Ben Shapiro spoke at the campus of the University of California there. Protesters hung a sign from window calling Shapiro a white supremacist. Citing his Jewish heritage during his speech, Shapiro dismissed the claim.
As far as the idea I'm a white supremacist, you see the thing on the top of my head, right? This funny hat. It's called a yarmulke. Hey, white supremacists aren't that fond of it.
Shapiro spoke to campus Republicans, sparking outrage from liberals. And I understand there are a few on that campus.
Just a few.
Pro-life leaders visit the White House Thursday, focusing on the life issue during the upcoming midterm elections. Susan B. Anthony List President Marjorie Dannenfelser was there.
We'll be bringing this into the 2018 elections in Senate battleground states. It'll be a very high-profile issue. Incumbent senators want to be on the right side of that.
Dannenfelser says the group discussed building a successful project, a pro-life project, to save lives. Is there a deal on DACA or not? Democrats say yes. President Trump says close, but not yet. Texas Republican John Cornyn says the agreement Democrats say they reach with the president this week is actually a deal to make a deal.
I believe that there is a solution, but it has to start with border security and enforcing our immigration laws.
Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Chuck Grassley asked the White House to let the legislative process work itself out. He says staffs of several senators are meeting with some results.
It's my understanding that there's been some progress made. So four or five of us are going to sit down next week and see what we can do.
And a Democratic governor appears to be backing the White House on gang activity. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo dispatching state troopers to 10 Long Island schools deemed high risk to gang activity. Echoing President Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Cuomo says the MS-13 gang, with origins in Central America, is responsible for more than a dozen deaths in Suffolk County. He says the gang is recruiting in high schools, even junior high schools. Immigration advocates criticize Cuomo's decision, saying it will increase fears of deportation among young Latinos. Mass is again being celebrated at Coptic churches in northern Egypt. They were forced to close last month due to security concerns. Church leaders thank the Egyptian government for making it safe again to openly worship. One of the largest Russian military exercises since the Cold War is now underway. It's being watched closely with some nervousness by Eastern European nations. NATO officials warn the drill is far larger than Russia is acknowledging and meant to show Russian power in the region. Russia insists only 12,000 troops are taking part in the exercise. The U.S. and NATO argue the number is likely more than 100,000. After Senator Richard Blumenthal boasted that his party's Medicare bill would repeal the Hyde Amendment, pro-life groups push back, stressing the longstanding policy is saving lives. Tom McCluskey, Vice President of Government Affairs at the March for Life, said this month marks the 41st anniversary of the Hyde Amendment, and in that time, it has been found that over 2 million lives have been saved. Tom was on our show yesterday.
Yeah, he was on yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, on Wednesday, senators from both parties released dueling health care bills. Some Republicans introduced a proposal to repeal the Affordable Care Act using block grants to states to pay for health care coverage. And St. Louis increases security ahead of a judge's verdict in a fatal police shooting. The judge is expected to rule in the trial of former officer Jason Stokely, charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of Anthony Smith. That trial raising concerns that a not guilty verdict could reignite tensions after the 2014 police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. Attorney Albert Watkins, representing the fiancé of the man who was killed, says he's been told there's not going to be a verdict of guilty for first-degree murder.
I receive calls from them saying that the indications that they're receiving tend to indicate that there is not going to be a verdict of guilty for murder in the first degree. That's the indication. Does that mean anything? I don't know.
Missouri Governor Eric Greitens met with Smith's fiancée Christina Wilson Thursday, calling for peaceful protests if the former officer is acquitted. And the popular dating app OkCupid announces a partnership with the largest abortion provider in the U.S. The app asks its users, should the government defund Planned Parenthood? Those saying no get a badge on their profile saying, I stand with Planned Parenthood. No surprise, about 80% of the respondents so far say no, Gloria.
You know, Chris Rock made a joke a long time ago about women wearing Planned Parenthood T-shirts at guys get a certain message from the girls wearing Planned Parenthood T-shirts. And so I'm wondering what kind of message the women and men on, OkCupid are sending to each other by saying, yeah, I believe in sex without consequences. So, I mean, what do you think they're thinking about the people that are prospective dating partners?
I forget, is it OkCupid or OkCupid?
Right.
Clever. Also on social media, the Women's Whole Health abortion chain in Texas is recruiting, offering free abortions to those affected by Hurricane Harvey for the entire month of September.
Just these people have no, I mean, they just, oh, you've lost everything. Let's make sure you lose the most important thing in your life, your child. I mean,
that's why
really.
We need to remember Our Lady of Sorrows today.
Yes. Talk about being sorrowful.
Yeah. The Cleveland Indians have run their American League record-winning streak to 22 games with a 3-2 comeback win over Kansas City. Jay Bruce won it with an RBI double in the bottom of the 10th. So a big, big streak for the Cleveland Indians as they'd move closer to playoff action. 10 after now, and Elisa has your Friday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
As we head into the weekend, partly cloudy skies in Columbus with a high of 77. For those joining us on St. Gabriel Radio this morning, cloudy with temps climbing to 68 in Boise for those tuned to Salt and Light Radio, and almost 90 with sun for those tuned to Catholic Community Radio in Baton Rouge.
We are so grateful to our Dominicans from the Dominican House of Studies, who really are the heart of Morning Glory in so many ways, and they've been bringing fellow Dominicans in all week, Father.
That's right. I'm kind of getting good at this. I mean, last week I had Father Marcus Holden, who's not a Dominican, but he's a diocesan priest all the way from England, and today we have a Dominican with us all the way from Rome, Father Austin Litke, who was a classmate of mine in the novitiate. He's completing doctoral studies there before he comes back to the United States, and so we just want to welcome him to the program. Father Austin, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And so, we'll go ahead.
Is that a Dominican name, Father? Doesn't sound like Father Dominic Legg or Father Aquinas Gilbo.
That's right. All the Dominican names were taken when I came through. So I had to be a little more inventive. So Austin is the English form of the name Augustine.
Oh, really?
And then my patron is actually Augustine of Canterbury, who was a monk in Rome during the time of Pope Gregory the Great, and was sent to England to evangelize England in the end of the 6th century. And so I was thinking of him as kind of a proto-Dominican, because he was a monk who was a preacher, evangelist, you know, as well. So kind of proto, because we think everyone's actually Dominican either. Kind of
that's right.
Really or potentially somehow.
Even Gloria Purvis.
Yeah, perhaps, right?
Someday, Gloria, you'll see the light.
Carmel.
Don't worry.
Yeah, the Carmelites are going to be bombing the show with like letters. Like, don't you dare. Right? But since you were in Italy, you might like the story about gelato, which I thought was absolutely out of control. The gelato itself cost £99, like, you know, the British pound. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that's what, maybe $150?
Around $150.
Something like that,
bucks.
Yeah.
For one ice cream cone. Okay, so they're going to say it's gelato. Let's tell you what you get for this $150. You get Persian blue salted caramel gelato in a house-made waffle cone dipped in rare 75% Criollo cocoa single plant. This is just all advertising, basically dipped in chocolate, and is adorned with mango, ginger, and passion fruit. And it's called at a shop called Snowflake Gelato. But you get, for your money, I guess what they think makes it so special is they put in 24-karat gold leaf. Now, I'm sorry, I don't need to eat gold, you know, for it to taste good. But so they put in 24-karat gold leaf, and they put a big gold flake on top of the gelato. And get this, it takes 15 minutes to make this.
And you wouldn't pay $150 for that.
I wouldn't pay $5 for that. I'm like, hold your gold leaf and gold flake or whatever. No way I wouldn't pay $150 for some ice cream.
And Gloria's not going to pay $1,000 for an iPhone. But Father Thomas Petrie said he's already got his eyes on.
Oh, he's just such
a
fool. He's so sickening. Yes.
Hey, did you hear that when they unveiled that thing that's supposed to recognize your face, it didn't work?
I've heard you have to have your eyes open. You have to also have to be open, so there's no worry that while you're sleeping, somebody's going to come up and put the phone to your face and get access to your phone.
I was really concerned about that.
Yes, right.
If somebody's in your bedroom, you ought to be concerned anyway.
what's the story with the case being made of glass?
What?
That the
iPhone case?
Oh, yeah, just the unit itself, instead of, you know, it's metal now, that I think it's either glass or encased in glass or something. So the whole thing can break now and not just the screen.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
I'm sure it's unbreakable glass, Father.
I don't know. They're quick to say, buy this warranty on this and we'll have insurance on it. I don't know. Apple seems to get their money from people whichever way they can. So,
We're going to dig a little bit deeper with Father Austin next. Father Aquinas?
That's right. So Father Austin, before his doctoral studies in Rome, was the college chaplain at NYU. And so we're going to talk about Catholic chaplaincies at state and secular universities coming up right next on Morning Glory. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
A lot of people listen to Catholic radio and get great information to help build their faith and support their faith. But there are also people out there who haven't yet built a relationship with God. And Catholic radio reaches them wherever they are. It evangelizes in a way like no other medium. And that's just one of the many reasons why Catholic radio is so important.
Jimmy Akin thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, and opinions to your fingertips. The latest Catholic news is at CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is John Martinoni, host of EWTN Open Line Monday.
Hi, this is Barbara McWiggin. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
That's why we're all yawning this morning.
I don't know where that guy comes from, but I don't know about him, but I try to get a good night's sleep before Morning Glory. We hope that you are waking up enriched and encouraged on this Friday morning. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer at Guadalupe Studios on Capitol Hill, Elisa Murphy, and our godly counsel is Dominican Father Thomas. Oh, no. Aquinas
almost.
Gilbo.
Ouch.
Thomas Aquinas.
You Dominicans
Gilbo.
All look alike.
Aquinas Gilbo.
We all have the same name. So. Except the Dominican sitting.
Father Aquinas.
That's yes. Right. Except we all have the same name except for the Dominican sitting to my right here, Father Austin Litke, who joins us now. Father Austin was the Catholic chaplain at NYU for 2 years before moving on to doctoral studies in Rome, is where he is now. But he joins us in the studio to talk about his time as a college chaplain. And so, Father Austin, just you were there at NYU, probably not the most religion-friendly campus in
Imagine.
The country.
Yeah.
But tell us about your time there as the Catholic chaplain.
Well, my own experience of it, too, is just that, I mean, I come from sort of the Catholic bubble. I mean, I have had about 26 years of Catholic education
right.
at this point. And NYU was my only experience of not being in a Catholic school, actually.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't quite know exactly what to expect when I got there. But to go to an academic institution where the church is not part of the furniture, if you want to put it that way, it was different. But what I found is that particularly at a place which is a secular university, particularly a place like NYU, which is really flying the banner of secularism in so many ways, kind of socially and culturally mm-hmm. and all these sorts of things. What I found with the students that go to NYU who want to practice their faith, there is a sort of vigor in the way that they live their faith there. And they want the truth. And they mm-hmm. want answers to the questions that they have and also to the objections that they're getting in the classroom from their professors, right. from their mm-hmm. friends, and this sort of thing. And so I found it really exciting, actually, mm-hmm. to be there and to be a chaplain for them.
So the students are there. They're hearing all this stuff, you know, in the classroom. Their own hearts are stirring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's encouraging to hear. They do seek, let's say, the chaplain out and pose these questions. You've met these students.
Absolutely, yeah. I would say it happens in a number of different ways. You know, what you would have is maybe a number of students who would come intellectually with questions.
Mm-hmm.
Objections they would hear in the classroom, things they're reading, things they're hearing from their peers, this sort of thing. When one answers that way. And mm-hmm. so maybe they, you know, came from a home or a family or a background which is practicing, and so they just know, okay, I can go to the church, I can go to the priest to get answers. What I also found is that you had a number of students who would come to New York City, Greenwich mm. Village, you know,
oh boy.
And would kind of throw themselves into all that has to offer, especially at NYU. And then they would find that that's actually kind of bankrupt at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would find providentially is that we, the chaplains, we also have a focus missionary team there when I was there. We would often catch kids as they were sort of finding that this was bankrupt and were kind of falling out of this. And I just found kind of God's providence working that way to kind of show them the emptiness of it. And then we were there to show them that, okay, there's another way to live your life here. Mm-hmm. And so I would say kind of on the moral side, you also caught a bunch of students that way. Just to kind of say there's more to life than this. And a lot of times you go to college and say, well, in order to fit in order to kind of be part of what's going on, I have to go to this party, I have to do this or that. And that's just not true. And we're there to show them that, no, there's a better way.
For people who are not familiar with Greenwich Village, many years ago when I was in college with a girlfriend of mine, we got lost in Greenwich Village. Mm. And I was like, and she said, why don't we ask somebody? It looks like they live here. And so it was a guy in head to toe with leather, and he had all these piercings on his face and a bald head. And she says, he looks like he lives here. And I was like, we can't go up to him. She's like, trust me, he lives here. We can. So to give you some idea when he says, you know, to get involved in what's in Greenwich Village, it's kind of can be very out there.
That must be the East Village, I would say.
Well, I have to say, because where I lived was a place called St. Joseph's on 6th Avenue, which is right on the kind of the border of the West Village there. And one of my first weeks, I was walking down the street dressed in my Dominican habit, you know, and in this man dressed similarly to how you're just describing that other gentleman. We're walking kind of, you know, facing each other on the street, and he kind of looks up and down at me as if I'm the weirdest thing he's seen all day. I thought, no, this is what world have I stepped into here where I'm the weird one? I mean, I understand that in a sense, but so it was a very, it's very much like that in Greenwich Village.
So, Father Austin, you mentioned FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and I wonder how closely these college chaplains work with this group of young people that really tries to reach these students where they are.
Well, I have to say, when I was at NYU, we had a very good working relationship. And what I kind of felt like is that because they are recent college graduates, they're able to kind of befriend students on campus, find people on campus. And what was very good is that they would kind of find them, again, with these questions, with these objections that they're hearing, or sometimes in a difficult spot, and would bring them to the chaplains, They would a lovely chapel right there on campus at NYU. And I just found the FOCUS team was very good at kind of finding people, catching people, if you want to put it that way, and then bringing them to us, you know, bringing them to the church, bringing them to the priest when people needed sacramental ministry of some sort or just counseling or questions answered and these sorts of things. So I found it a very good relationship that way myself.
Were you a student? Like, were you studying at NYU while you were also a chaplain?
Nope. So I was assigned as my first ministry as a priest was to be one of the chaplains there.
I know, I think what you're saying here, Father Austin, can be encouraging to parents, especially of college-age kids, if they're getting ready to send their kids off to college, especially if that college is going to be a state or really secular school, that the chaplaincy can be an oasis, you know, in that desert, so to speak, where their kids can find truth and love and life.
Yeah, as someone who came, again, from a background of basically Catholic education from the beginning to the end. I went to Baptist kindergarten, actually. I just thought about that. Okay. But after that, I mean, it was Kentucky, you know. But after that, it was all Catholic schools. And so I think I certainly came from a family where Catholic education was something that you sacrificed for and that you really put a lot of value on. That's not possible for everybody. And I think a lot of parents have a lot of fear saying, we just don't have the resources to send all of our children to Catholic schools this way. And so they'll send them to a state university. And I think they should do that without fear necessarily. Now, it requires some research and it requires some prudence that way. But I would say that there are excellent chaplaincies all over the country where the faith is lived and where the faith is taught and where, students can find an oasis that way, like you said, because they experience it that way, I have to say. And I would say, when you're looking in this sort of thing, it's a bit when you're looking into kind of finding a parish when you move to a new area. You know, it's certain things you kind of look for. I always found that you could kind of tell a good chaplaincy was one that would have, say, Eucharistic adoration on a regular basis, would have confessions offered when the priests or religious who kind of run the thing were visible and present. Mm-hmm. You know, these to me were kind of marks. That's okay. Something good is going on here. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that, for parents who are kind of looking at sending their children to school and who, you know, for whom Catholic education just doesn't make sense or just isn't possible, you know, for their situation, that they can do that without fear, honestly.
Yeah. Well, Father Austin, thank you. Certainly thanks for sharing your experience as the chaplain at NYU and sharing that good advice to parents sending their kids to school. We're happy that you're here and that you're going to stay with us for the rest of the show.
Thank you.
So don't move. And Yeah.
We'll have some coffee brought in. All right.
That's right.
All right. It's 25 after the hour now, and Father Aquinas is going to share some thoughts on today's memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. But first, let's look at the Catholic chatter that Elisa Murphy has put together for us.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. Email the show directly, morningglory@EWTN.com. We've heard from Emily this morning, who went to Boston College, and she says she was very much touched by her chaplain in her college years, so very much appreciates having you on the show this morning, Father Austin. We've also heard from Kenneth, who is living in Australia, and as the government there is soon to vote on redefining marriage, he urges us to pray for that country.
All right, thank you, Elisa. And Father, the icons of Our Lady of Sorrows often show Mary with swords piercing her heart. Mm. Some would look at that and say, that's just an odd devotion.
It is. The iconography is, while off-putting, maybe, the message, the spiritual message, the spiritual truth that it points to is quite clear. Mm-hmm. That that Our Lady shares in the sorrow of her son. She shares in the suffering of her son. Just yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of the Triumph of the Holy mm-hmm. Cross, right? So mm-hmm. we remember, in a certain way, Christ's suffering, but celebrating the triumph, the very trophy, the Christian tradition says, that instrument of death, but is also a sign of Christ's victory over death. So the very next day, we remember Our Lady's own participation in Christ's suffering. You know, it's interesting. I think our Protestant evangelical brothers and sisters get a little nervous when, you know, we Catholics talk about Mary a mm-hmm. lot, because they see a lot of our devotion to her as being extra biblical, which is say, you can't point to some page in Scripture and say, ah, that's where you get this. But I think this feast is certainly one where we can point to Scripture. Our Lady, the Gospels say, was at the foot of Christ's cross. Mm-hmm. She was there praying and participating in his self-offering. And so we think of Mary today. We place ourselves under her mantle. We ask for her to, in a sense, suffer with us, mm-hmm. you know, as we undergo our own conversion and unite ourselves to Christ's suffering. So there are many ways in which we can draw close to Our Lady today. And remembering her sorrows, not just the sorrow that she felt under the cross, but at different moments in her life, her seven sorrows that tradition points out. You know, the flight into Egypt mm-hmm. and, you know, the losing of Christ in Jerusalem and having to find him and meeting him, you know, on the way of the cross. So mm-hmm. these moments in Our Lady's life where because of the sin of the world, you know, a certain sword of sorrow, as the tradition says, pierced her heart.
Gloria, as a parent, I know that mm-hmm. we can really connect with the sorrows of Our Lady, because what parent could see their son or their daughter die?
Die horribly. Mm-hmm. And to encounter them in that passion.
Stay with them.
I don't know, I might be trying to take the cross off them, but I knew, you know, she knows it's God's will, so she's obedient there too.
Yeah, suffering in a certain surrender. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father Aquinas Gilbo. LifeSet's Brendan Kirby has some thoughts about what's going on in Washington next as Morning Glory continues with the morning news.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website. EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the Church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Two of the hardest words to say in the English language. I'm sorry. I'll ask couples, when was the last time you said I'm sorry?
Oh,
I think it was our wedding rehearsal dinner. I spilled some coffee on her lap. I said, hey, sorry about that. Why is I'm sorry so hard to say? What does it mean to you? Are you saying you're a failure? Are you saying I'm wrong? Are you saying, if I say I'm sorry, I'm admitting it's all my fault? I'm sorry are two of the softest words in a relationship in the English language. I'm sorry, very hard to say, very easy on relationships.
Hey, this is Doug Keck, EWTN President and Chief Operating Officer.
This is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Raymond Arroyo, host of The World Over. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
Morning Glory originates from Guadalupe Studios. We thank WMET and the Guadalupe Radio Network for making us at home, and we thank you for allowing us to come into your home or your car, wherever you may be this morning. I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy produces Morning Glory, and our godly council on this Friday morning, the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows, is Father Aquinas Gilbo.
Let us pray. Look on us, O God, creator and ruler of all things, and that we may feel the working of your mercy, grant that we may serve you with all our heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And Gloria has her musing for us in just a few minutes.
Yeah, you know, let me just say this. If you're ever getting stuck, like, which Dominican is it? Just remember, deep-fried Dominican. That way you can just skip the whole name thing altogether. Because that's a deep-fried Dominican.
Just go to the nickname.
Go to the nickname.
That's yours. That's yours exclusive.
But you'll answer to that, right, Father Deep-Fried?
Just to you.
Just to me. Okay. Well, I was going, I want to talk some more about Our Lady of Sorrows and you know, some particular things that I think we should just consider when we think about her.
All right. The U.S. Capitol Dome lit with bright sunshine on this Friday morning, and we thank you for joining us today. Elisa has the forecast for some of you in just a few minutes. The investigation continues into the deaths of 8 people from Hollywood, Florida, nursing facility that lost air conditioning during Hurricane Irma. Raylan Story, speaking for the city of Hollywood, says several factors are being studied.
We're looking into the temperature inside of the facility, the staffing inside the facility, and all of the conditions inside the facility in the hours leading up to this situation.
President Trump and Vice President Pence survey hurricane damage in Naples and Fort Myers, Florida, meeting with the victims there. The vice president assuring the people of Florida they will recover with help from the nation.
We're with you today. We're going to be with you tomorrow. And we're going to be with you until Florida rebuilds bigger and better than ever before. So thank you.
The Democrats claiming they have a deal with President Trump on immigration. Texas Republican John Cornyn says the deal on DACA, Democrats say they've reached with President Trump this week, is actually a deal to make a deal.
I believe that there is a solution, but it has to start with border security and enforcing our immigration laws.
And LifeSet's Brendan Kirby joining us today to take a closer look at this and other news out of Washington. Brendan, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So this deal on DACA, there seems to be quite a bit of discussion about it. Where do you think it actually stands?
Well, I think that it's been pretty clear since President Trump took office, and really even before that, that this is a group of illegal immigrants that he was not eager to deport. He's talked about his big heart. And although he did promise to end DACA during the campaign, and in fact did issue an order winding down the program, I think he's always been open to some sort of a deal that would legalize this population through legislation. So I think that's where it stands. He's caught between a base that doesn't really want to compromise on this and his own feelings that deporting people who have lived most of their lives in the United States just wouldn't be fair. So I think that's probably where we are right now. And then it's just what are the details?
These are immigrants that were brought to this country when they were children and have since lived here and are now working and studying. And so there's a lot of concern. I know the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops wants them to remain in this country and not be deported. However, there's a lot of criticism, as you said, from his own Republican base. In fact, Kentucky Senator, what's his name?
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul. I was thinking of his dad. Rand Paul, he's a doctor and he's outspoken. He ran against Trump, says that Trump may have caught fever, Potomac fever. What do you think about that?
Right, Potomac fever is a term that has been around a while, and of course, Dr. Paul is a doctor, he's a physician, and says as a physician, maybe he ought to examine the president, take a temperature, and succumb to this disease that makes politicians forget their campaign promises. So that's kind of a funny quip. You know, I think even Rand Paul, though, would be willing to accept some sort of a deal under the right circumstances, and the point he makes is, if we are going to grant amnesty to this group, it ought to count against the annual immigration totals that we already have. We admit about 1 million green cards every single year, which is a high number that I think a lot of people don't even realize. And Dr. Paul says if we do that, if we give almost 700,000 people that are enrolled in DACA amnesty, it shouldn't be new immigration, but it should reduce the totals of immigration coming from the outside. So that's one idea, one way that we could go. Of course, there's border security talk. A lot of the immigration hawks, however, say, you know, we've seen this in the past. We pass an amnesty bill or some kind of immigration leniency for the promise of border security down the road, and then we never get the border security, and we get the amnesty. So, you know, I think conservatives say, let's secure the border first and then talk about amnesty.
Let's touch very quickly on health care. This week we saw a couple of new plans, one from Democratic senators, even Republicans or a small group of them came out with a plan that is really quite different from the original Republican proposal. Is anything ever going to get done with this, or is it just going to be a murky soup that they're not going to be able to wade through?
Well, it's very hard because about a third of the Democrats in the Senate signed under the Bernie Sanders plan, universal single-payer health care, which is about as different as you could get. And then, of course, on the other end, Republicans have failed to repeal Obamacare. So Senator Lindsey Graham and three others are proposing, let's just take all of the money we spent on Obamacare and turn it into a giant block grant to the states and then let the states design their own healthcare systems. So that represents the polar extremes at this point, and finally you got to get enough votes to pass it out of a majority. It's going to be very hard for the Republican plan because they only have until the end of this month to get it done under the Senate arcane rules that would allow them to avoid the filibuster. And you know, maybe one day we will have single-payer health, but it doesn't seem like there's close to a majority now. So I think we just muddle through the Obamacare and maybe do some tinkering around the edges. Senator Lamar Alexander is trying to put together a bipartisan plan to do some small Obamacare fixes, and I think that's about as much as we can expect out of Washington.
And finally, very quickly, a pro-life leaders meeting at the White House yesterday. What do you know about that?
I don't know a whole lot, except that, pro-life leaders, want to make sure the president is committed to their issues. One of the aspects of the Bernie Sanders plan that sort of flew under the radar, Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut proudly touted the fact that if we pass this bill, the Hyde Amendment goes away, and the government will pay for abortions. The Hyde Amendment for decades has prevented federal funds from going to abortion. So I think things like that and others, I want to make sure that the Trump administration stays strong on that and is committed to appointing pro-life judges.
Okay, Brendan Kirby of LifeSet, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, as always, thanks a lot.
Yeah, and White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders sometimes reads letters during press briefings. They're sent from people from around the country to the president. So this time, a boy from Virginia named Frank just turned 11. In his letter, he offers President Trump to mow the lawn at the White House for free. So
wow.
The president invited Frank to spend the morning with the White House groundskeeper who maintains 18 acres.
I was going to say,
that's a lot of grass over there.
Yeah. I was like, did he know?
All right, so that's very interesting. Let's turn to sports now. Houston Astros outfielder Jack Marincek could be out for the season after breaking his right thumb while sliding headfirst into second base Wednesday, that Pete Rose slide. Chris Bryant's 2 RBI double in the bottom of the fourth gives the Cubs a 7-5 lead over the Mets.
A 2-1 pitch. Bryant, line drive, left center field, base hit. Two runs are going to score. The ball goes out toward the warning track. Bryant has a double. Cubs lead 7-5.
Chicago wins easily 14-6, and the Bengals are losers again in Thursday night football. 13-9 to Houston. They have yet to score a touchdown this season. Oh. All right, it's almost 20 till. Here's Elisa with the forecast ahead of Morning Glory and Musings.
Morning Glory weather.
In the Northeast for your Friday, rain today in Boston reaching a high of 77. If you're listening on Station of the Cross this morning, expect passing showers with temps in the high 80s in Melbourne, Florida. For those tuned to Divine Mercy Catholic Radio, and here in our nation's capital, partly cloudy with temps in the mid 80s for our listeners on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Thanks, Elisa. Gloria?
So, Father was a the deep-fried Dominican, Father Thomas. He talked about the seven sorrows. If you aren't familiar, they're the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, the loss of Jesus in the temple, Mary meeting Jesus carrying the cross, the crucifixion, Mary receives the dead body of her son, and the burial of her son and closing of the tomb. And the early church fathers, some of them theorize, I think, that Mary's labor pains happened at the foot of the cross. So that's when she experienced the pain that most women experience. And I have to tell you, I've been through labor without medication. Don't ask why. Yeah, it hurts a lot, a whole lot. And so I was thinking about that with the Blessed Mother. But then I also thought about what I often hear from other saints who are mystics, like St. Catherine of Siena and St. Teresa of Avila, where they talk about when you're clothed with God's will, these intense sufferings can become sweet while they're also still intensely painful. They're also sweet because you are clothed with his will. And so, I'm contemplating, thinking about the Blessed Mother at that time, and I'm imagining being full of grace. She probably was wrapped in his will, but at the same time felt a tremendous pain. But I imagine that the only reason she could go on after such a horrific experience with her only child is that she was clothed with God's will, and she loved the Lord, and she accepted that. And I think that's a lesson for all of us there. And when we start to try to, maybe if we try to unite ourselves with God's will, whatever that may be in our life, holding nothing back, that maybe those sufferings we receive can be with God's gift, a gift of God, be transformed into something sweet. And let's think about that with Our Lady of Sorrows. When you look at the pictures of her, it's interesting. Her heart is pierced through seven times with these little daggers. But at the same time, there's a flame of love on the top of her heart. And you see this glow around the middle of her chest. And I'm like, amidst all this suffering, we also see this great love. And we know she has this great love for us because she also didn't come and say, hey, you suckers are the ones that caused my child to die. You know, instead, she's somebody that protects us. She's our mother, too. And so let's think about that with Our Lady of Sorrows today. Ask her to give us the grace to be able to accept whatever sorrows we have in our life, and may they be transformed by love because we'll be clothed with God's will.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. You actually remind us of something that's very important in the Christian spiritual tradition, that, yes, the work of conversion can be very painful. But it is, there is something sweet about it, as you say. And the sweetness here, Father Austin can jump in, is simply Jesus. You know, because this is, you know, even as you confront your sin and as you move, you know, from hopefully, you know, sin to virtue and go through that pain, Christ is there. And there's already the joy and the reward of that pain and suffering in the friendship with the Lord, with whom, you know, you undergo the work of conversion.
Yeah, I was just introduced to a poet, Khalil Gibran. Have you heard this name before?
Yes.
Okay. Who was a Maronite Catholic. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah. So I thought he was some sort of, you know, kind of New Age sort of thing. Just like the name, for whatever reason, just kind of struck me that way. But no, he was a Maronite Catholic. Now, I don't know what else he got into, but he has this a poem, which I can't think off the top of my head because I didn't prepare this for this morning. But he talks about how suffering kind of hollows out the place that receives joy afterward. And he has all these kind of great images. He talks about, like, you know, the sound that you hear, of, like, from a lute playing, you know, is only the result of, like, this, you know, an implement kind of carving out that wood and kind of, you know, carving it out and kind of the pain that that is. And he says also in our life, you know, so often the sort of sufferings that we experience are the places that carve out the place where the Lord can kind of fill that in with his joy and with his grace, with his goodness. And that. And so I think that's a part of the spiritual life in that way. And Our Lady just kind of shows that sort of writ large sharing in Christ's own experience as that as well.
Another thing that we shouldn't forget about Our Lady's sorrow is that it's somewhat intensified, we can say, because of her sinlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Mary's sinlessness isn't, you know, a grace that separates her from us. Like, oh, wow, she's so great. She doesn't sin. She doesn't even, she's not even inclined to sin. Therefore, she's not like us. No, it's actually because of her sinlessness. She can draw close to us and feels our pain in a particular way.
Mm. Father Aquinas Gilbo, also Father Austin Litke, both Dominicans, and of course Gloria with her musings. And we're going to find out more about that pro-life leaders meeting at the White House, Gloria.
Yeah, we have Marilyn Musgrave. She's the vice president for the Susan B. Anthony list. So stay tuned as we talk with her next.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Colleen Kelly Mast.
I cannot even count the number of times that God has clearly shown me his power and love when I continue to say yes to him. He provides for our needs. Even standing at the funeral home during the wake of my late son, the Holy Spirit kept singing in my head, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I didn't feel very strong at the time, but I knew that God was holding me close.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast. Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The only thing new about the heresies in the church and the schisms in the church today is it's mixed with satanic worship. We in the church have gone from enneagrams to centering prayer to solstice worship to goddesses. And you buy it as something new.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
As an EWTN media missionary, your task is to prayerfully take EWTN to your parish and community through the print and electronic media we provide. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is John Martinoni, host of EWTN Open Line Monday.
Hi, this is Barbara McWiggin. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
And we're back. It's 14 minutes to the top of the hour. It's Friday, and you're listening to EWTN Radio. This is Morning Glory. I'm Gloria Purvis. My co-host is Brian Patrick. Our producer is Elisa Murphy. Our godly counsel is a deep-fried Dominican, Father Aquinas Gilbo. And we also have another Dominican guest with us, Father Austin Litke is in. But we'll be talking right now with Marilyn Musgrave. She's the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Susan B. Anthony List. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning.
So I understand pro-life senators led by, from my home state, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, and Bill Cassidy offered new ideas and solutions to enact a health care reform reconciliation bill. For our listeners who are outside the Beltway, what is this health care? What do you mean when you say health care reform reconciliation bill?
Well, what happened, we were all watching to see when the phrase was the Republicans repeal and replace Obamacare. Okay, that went down by one vote. Senator John McCain was the Republican that they thought they had on the vote, and he voted no. And as a former member of Congress, I can tell you that it ain't over till it's over, and here we come. Now, with a ray of hope, maybe a glimmer would be a better phrase, because Lindsey Graham and Dr. Cassidy have said they have a new idea on this to repeal and replace Obamacare. And our concern, of course, from a pro-life organization was that the Affordable Care Act under the Obama administration included taxpayer funding of abortion. So now we see this new proposal that these two pro-life senators have come up with. We've gone through with the language, looking at it very carefully. It does address our pro-life concerns. It has Hyde protections, meaning to the folks out there, protections for people from having to be complicit in paying for abortion, no taxpayer funding of abortion, and it also includes taking away money from Planned Parenthood, abortion giant in this country, and redirecting it to healthcare providers that are very numerous, to outnumber Planned Parenthood facilities 20-1 that give comprehensive health care to women but do not perform abortions. In short, another attempt at repealing and replacing.
And how soon would this be able to get done if everything goes through like you want?
Well, we just saw the language yesterday. It has to get the CBO scores out, and the clock is ticking because the reconciliation bill is a bill that deals with budgetary items. And the way we can do this without 60 votes in the Senate is that budget items are dealt with in a way that require a simple majority. So it would have to have 51 votes to pass. And as you've seen before, sometimes the 50 votes are there, but they can't get to 51, but then the vice president votes mm-hmm. and something can pass. We avoid the filibuster. So we are encouraged in that these men are pro-life and the clock is ticking. The ability to pass a reconciliation bill, the opportunity to pass it, expires on September 30th for 2017. So the clock is ticking. They have to get moving.
So, Marilyn, there seem to be so many rules when you deal with the Senate. And so when you mention a CBO score, the Congressional Budget Office, I'm wondering, can that blow this up? Can the CBO score come back where it's so that it's disastrous for what they're trying to do here? Well, that could that have an impact?
It certainly could have an impact. And as you can imagine, people that do not want to see the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, repealed and replaced, are going to be ready to be very critical. Pro-lifers are always on edge because we know there has to be no taxpayer funding of abortion, defunding of Planned Parenthood right there. And so there are a lot of people looking closely at the bill, and the CBO scores will be very telling when they come out. So again, this is a glimmer of hope, but we're encouraged that these two pro-life senators are trying yet again to accomplish what we want.
Now, I understand EWTN Pro-Life Weekly comes on Thursdays at 10 p.m. and again on Sunday at 10 a.m. And then this week's Pro-Life Weekly deals with Kentucky possibly being the first state without an abortion clinic. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's so encouraging to me. I'm a former state legislator. And to think that states take these kinds of actions, it's wonderful. And that will really give everyone an opportunity to see what happens to, quote-unquote, women's health care when there's no abortion paid for by taxpayers available. I tell you, women that have high blood pressure, they may have thyroid problems, they may have other health issues. When they go to a Planned Parenthood clinic, they're not treated for those. The numbers of testing for sexually transmitted diseases, issues with HIV AIDS, those things don't take place very often in a Planned Parenthood clinic. Less than 1% of their services are those. So when people get the impression that Planned Parenthood, is a provider for women's health care, what they are is the abortion giant in this country. They don't need our tax dollars, and it's incredible in a state where they take this action where women will really have comprehensive health care available to them.
Well, I'm hoping that it'll change our whole mindset when we think women's health care
that
people aren't thinking is code for abortion. I mean, like, that's just not health care. So that would be a big plus if we could get them defunded and start to eliminate abortion clinics across the U.S. Brian, I think, has a question.
Abortion is not health care.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's not contraception. It's taking the life of an innocent, unborn child.
Marilyn Musgrave, our guest. Marilyn, the group of pro-lifers that gathered at the White House this week really focused on this midterm election of senators. Isn't the balance very critical here to pro-life issues as we look at another election?
It's very critical indeed. You can see now that, very often it's only because the White House is in pro-life hands that anything can pass, with pro-life hero Vice President Mike Pence casting a vote. But if pro-lifers were not in the majority in the United States Senate, none of this would even be considered. And it's important that we remember that in 2016, it was the life issue that made all the difference in races like those of Tom Tillis and Dr. Cassidy and Tom Cotton. And I mean, pro-life individuals need to know where these candidates stand on the issue. And once again, Susan B. Anthony List is going to be working very hard. We already have many people going door to door in Florida, in Ohio, and we're going into Missouri, states where people need to know, as they do in any state, quite frankly, where the candidate or the incumbent stands on the life issue. And taxpayer funding of abortion, banning late-term abortion, are supported by majorities in these states, and some of these states, like when we look at North Dakota, where there will be a race, that is a very pro-life state.
Well, thank you so much, Marilyn Musgrave, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Susan B. Anthony List. And to find out more about the Susan B. Anthony List, you can visit them online at sba-list.org. Thank you, Marilyn.
Blessed to be with you. Bye-bye. Right.
St. John shows us the sorrowful mother at the foot of the cross in today's gospel. First, though, a little bit of Catholic chatter with Elisa Murphy.
Just quickly, we've heard from Kelly writing in from Ohio this morning that very much enjoyed your reflection on Mary's suffering, Gloria, during your musing. She says, I have often thought that our Lord is so merciful that martyrs are able to endure their suffering because God relieves some of their pain.
And Father Aquinas, John was at the foot of the cross with Mary.
That's right. And so, and he records for us that at that moment, in the midst of Christ's suffering, Our Lady's suffering with him, Christ gives Mary to us as our mother. Her motherhood of the church, her motherhood of all souls is born from the suffering that she bears with Christ at the cross. And that's a mystery that we should spend the day pondering and
our
giving
Lady's
thanks
source.
To God for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Father Aquinas Gilbo, Father Austin Litke, both Dominicans joining us this morning. Thank you both. And Gloria, we'll look forward to Monday with you. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, I hope you have a good one, too. I know we'll be talking with Jem Sullivan. I know she just accepted a role at the Archdiocese of Washington as the head of the education department.
We're going to talk about Catholic education, as well as Dr. Dan Guernsey joins us on Monday.
And Monsignor Charles Pope is our godly counsel. Pray with us now as we give glory to God on this Friday morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you for being part of our Morning Glory family. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk with you Monday morning here on EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.